Good morning and welcome to Café Beva, where I've come to observe and to find out more about the election campaign of John Gilroy, who is attempting to get elected to the Cork North Central constituency on behalf of the Irish Labour Party. Now, I find myself in an interesting situation, sitting beside John Gilroy, the candidate, and Owen O'Leary, his election agent. And let me just tell you before I get to any of them talking, what they have been doing. The first thing I noticed is they were looking at local election tallies, whatever that is, a bit of paper on which there are records of where people voted in the last local election. Then they started talking about coordinating the canvass and information that was being coordinated by the central coordinator for the Labour Party in Cork, and a way of making sure that candidates don't bump into each other. We'll get back to John on that in a minute. The third topic was the battle. Yes, the battle on Twitter for the high ground. And what did this candidate tweet yesterday, and what did that candidate tweet yesterday? What shall we tweet today? So it seems to me that Twitter is coming into the fray a bit there. And the last bit of news I have for you, which John can tell a bit more about, is that apparently last night a Facebook page was set up by young people called John Gilroy Youth Fans. So therefore, four things I've overheard in the first minute or two. Good morning, John Gilroy. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. I'm fantastic.
And look, this election has now started in official earnest, right? Everything up until more or less yesterday was unofficial and us all guessing. What has the official start of the election campaign meant to you as a candidate?
Paul, you remember in the last boo we did, we were talking about candidateitis. Well, it's a fully formed version of it I've caught now. The activity in the last two days is absolutely frenetic, is the best way to describe it. When the election was called yesterday, we had 11 teams of people prepared at midnight yesterday, Monday night, to start postering. So we've got all our posters up, every one of them, over 800 overnight. It's made a great splash of colour around the place. It was a major logistical job to identify the routes, polls and teams that would do it and coordinate all that activity.
And hang on, who planned all that major logistical effort to make sure that you could get them all up overnight?
Well, I suppose well, we've a very good team, there's no doubt. I mean, we've Owen O'Leary, who's here with us, and might talk later on. Jim Quinn, David Gilroy, who you met before, Mick Young, Eddie O'Rourke. We've a very good team here. And it's a team effort. There's no one person in charge of this, at least of all myself. And what we're at here is we sit down, make a plan, make the plan flexible. We said this before, how robust the plan needs to be and flexible. We will not react to any external influences. If our plan is robust enough, it'll carry us through. If it's not, it won't. It's simple as that.
So you executed it overnight anyway?
This was long planning going into this, and the execution of it was flawless.
Okay, so go on. What else has this declaration of the election meant to you?
Well, I mean, what we've noticed yesterday is we've met every single candidate out on the street yesterday at some stage of their activity. Some of them are a bit late getting their posters up. Others seem a little bit disorganised in doing it, and some people seem to have no posters at all.
And do you go over and say hello to your opponent candidates, or do you studiously ignore them?
I'll talk to them, Paul. I'm polite and I'm a pleasant guy, I hope. And while we are bitter opponents on the political front, I certainly hold no personal animosity towards anybody. And win or lose, it'll remain that way, Paul.
So go on. So you see candidates, you get your posters up. What else have you been up to?
Yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, my five canvas members of my team and four my literaturing team met up here at just outside the door, and we headed off to Blarney, and we spent about 3 hours literaturing, as we do every morning and we'll continue to do, and five canvassers knocked at doors. You're in the mornings, the canvas is leisurely because there's not a great deal of people at home, and it's as much about creating a presence in an area as it is of knocking at doors. Took a break for lunch, and then we were in the city yesterday afternoon, up near the military barracks, We had four canvassers from, we're supposed to meet at 2:30. I was delayed at a meeting because my council work has to continue. I'm still a councillor and I can't neglect that part of my work.
Well, you don't stop being a councillor while you're a candidate for the Dáil?
No, but no, when you're a candidate for the Dáil, if you're elected at Dáil, you stop it. But I mean, there is still important work out there for people who are very anxious about certain issues. So the team started off without me at about 2:30. I joined them about 3, maybe 3:15, and we continued till 5:00. Then we took a break again, had a bite to eat, got home, clean up, freshen up, sent a few emails, got a report of one of our posters had been incorrectly put up, was obscuring the view of a small mirror, which hadn't been noticed in the dark the night before, so we had to send a team off to remove that poster. One or two posters became loose, and I don't know, was that intended or not by my opponents? We can't say these things. Just funny that the poster...
Oh, I suppose the skullduggery about posters, yeah, people going around, is that right?
Just funny that the posters that became loose were on poles where there was subsequent posters put up. There's no conspiracy here, Paul, these things happen.
Yeah.
It's all part of it. And then last night, from 6:15 until 9:15, we were canvassing here in Glanmire. The response in Glanmire is absolutely fantastic, really.
Well, this is your home ground, is it not?
It needs to be.
Part of the constituency is the part that you're least known in at the moment?
We have divided the constituency between myself and Kathleen. And Kathleen would be very strong in some areas, and I'd be very strong in others.
So that's Kathleen Lynch, the sitting TD, yeah. And the two of you are hoping to win 2 seats here, isn't that right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah. Kathleen's home turf, I suppose, is the North Central Ward, which is around Blackpool, and Kathleen will take the vote there as much as I'll take the vote here, we hope, and we'll fight like cats and dogs over the other two areas. But,
and do you have to find a way of getting yourself known to the people in Blackpool as well? I mean, or do you just kind of write off Blackpool?
No, you can't write off anywhere, Paul. You concentrate your efforts in areas where there is a vote, but you're certainly not writing off everywhere. We resources are limited, and time, unfortunately, is limited as well. So that makes it a virtue and necessity by concentrating in areas where it's likely that you can increase the vote.
And if Blackpool is Kathleen Lynch's strength patch, do you sort of ring her up and say, Kathleen, I'm going to come into Blackpool and do a bit of canvassing. Is that okay with you today, or how does it work?
No need for that. The Director of Elections has all this organised. It would be completely foolish, Paul, for instance, for Kathleen to canvass a particular estate or park in the morning and then have to find me there in the afternoon. That'd be just pointless. So the Director of Elections has a very detailed canvass schedule which will ensure that nonsense like that won't happen. So
and how does the Director of Elections get that canvass schedule out to both of you?
That's emailed each night of the following day's suggestions. Now there's a great flexibility built into that, but if we adhere to this reasonably, we won't go too far wrong. But just to go back to last night, Paul, we finished canvassing at 9:00, and I trained 2 soccer teams here in Glanmire as well. So from 9 to 10 last night, after maybe 12 hours of politics, my under 15 boys were training, so I took a training session with them. And like I say, normal life must continue. And
so did you sort of lie down on the pitch and tell them, lads, get on with your get on with your practice, or did you have legs?
Oh, I certainly felt like lying down, all right. But no, we had a normal training session, and they're a good old team. They're unbeaten this year, and they're lying top of their table, and they'll have a match next Saturday. So I mean, just because I'm otherwise occupied, I don't think my soccer boys should suffer from this. So we plan to win the season this year, and whether I'm elected or not, I'm going to continue training my under 17 and my under 15 boys.
So you're not just a politician, you're kind of presenting yourself here as a rounded individual who kind of does things because he's passionately committed to developing young people in the area. Or is this all an election strategy in order to kind of trick people into thinking that you really are better than somebody else?
Well, I'm not saying I'm any better or worse, Paul, but there's easier ways of getting votes than training boys at a cold night. Look, this is what politics is about, Paul, and this is politics at putting people at the centre of politics. If we are to say politics is removed from people, that's not politics, not my type of politics anyway. So, I mean, I'd consider myself hands-on. I feel very passionately about people, about making real difference in the lives of people. That sounds cliched out politics, but I firmly believe and feel this, Paul. So, I'll be training my under 17 team tonight. That'll be 40 young fellas who will be off the streets for at least 2 hours a week when they're training. You'd say, why can't you find someone else to train? Well, I mean, these are both the B teams, I'm afraid, and everybody, of course, likes training the A teams, but it's not a criticism, that's just the way the competitive nature of sport, and the soccer we play is more participative than it is competitive, so even though we like to win too. It's what politics is about.
Yeah.
So look, we've been talking detail now over here for a second, but let me ask you to think about the overall 3 weeks, right? Is it completely made up on a day-to-day basis, or is there any sort of an overall plan for how you will approach the campaign over the 3 weeks?
Yeah, there's what we call the long campaign, Paul, is the period of maybe 6 months before the election is called. And there are certain activities you do, which is about promoting your name. In areas where you would not be well known, and we've been doing that. We've delivered maybe 100,000 pieces of literature into the constituency in areas where I'm not known since last July.
And you've also been getting an article in the Cork Evening Echo, I saw.
Yeah, we've the opinion piece in the Echo. The Evening Echo is the newspaper for Cork City, and the editor invites a comment regularly for any commentator who would choose to make comment. So I've been lucky enough to be able to formulate my thoughts in some sort of coherent way and submit 1,000 words on a couple of occasions in, and we're published, and I would say it received a fairly good comment and response. So that's the long campaign, Paul. The short campaign kicked off yesterday. The short campaign really is continue doing the same thing, add canvassing to it and other name promotional items like postering and trying media and all the rest, but it's a concentrated form of the long campaign and highly intense. We're working 16 hours a day, Paul. We'll be cranking it up to that. That's 7 days a week. We will not be stopping on Sundays, changing the strategy a little bit on Sundays, taking time out again. We just mentioned my soccer team, they're playing at the weekend, so we'll take a couple of hours off to go and watch manage the teams for that game. And that's the way it'll be, Paul, until up to and including the day of the election.
Okay, no, you know, it sounds very, very hard work. It sounds very ongoing and relentless. Have you got any stunts, any kind of... do you remember somebody climbing up a poster in the last election and having a confrontation with a government minister or something like that? Have you got any stunts, or are you a man who doesn't go in for stunts?
Paul, all those items that you said before are all highly staged. That was Michael McDougall, who was the Minister of Justice, I think, at the time, and PD, who are now gladly and happily extinct, where he climbed up a ladder, one-party government, no thanks. Isn't it amazing that the media were there just as he climbed up that ladder? So that's nonsense.
Oh, yes, all arranged.
Nonsense.
Yes.
Although it was effective, I suppose. No, we've no stunts, Paul. We'll continue doing real work. I will be judged on the value of our real work. If people like the way I do politics, Paul, I'll be elected. If they don't, I won't. And it's as simple as that.
Okay, last question, really. Twitter and Facebook, right? I see you and Owen O'Leary here talking about Twitter and Facebook. Actually, maybe I'll go across to Owen O'Leary and ask him about this.
Can I just say one word?
Yeah.
I mean, the social media networking is very important. But it is added on extra to our campaign. Our campaign is fought on the ground. The media and the social networking could be considered to be the aerial war, and the wars have never been won in the air. You must send in the infantry, and the infantry are the canvas teams, littering teams, and meeting people on the ground.
Okay, thanks, John. I'm going to go across here to Owen O'Leary just for a minute and introduce. Owen O'Leary, you are election agent for John Gilroy, right? Let's just stick to Twitter and Facebook. What are your thoughts on the use of Twitter and Facebook in this particular election campaign?
I think this is probably a transition election in that more people are now beginning to look at Twitter and Facebook and online to get information on candidates. So, for example, we get quite a number of requests almost on a daily basis for profile updates for particular websites who are looking at issues and questions and so on. We try to answer as many as we can, and in many ways maybe it's time that as part of the electoral process there was actually a centralised area that was maybe run by the Electoral Commission to effectively say this is what candidates are saying about what issues. Otherwise what happens is I could spend every day updating different websites with different information. So yeah, online is important. I think John's point is right though. I mean, this is more about I suppose, fighting on every front. Twitter is important. It's also important because it's places where journalists look for stories. It's also places where other politicians come with their opinions, and therefore we have to be both reactive and proactive in relation to Twitter. Important, but not the most important one.
And what else? Just last question then. What will you be doing today to help the campaign as the election agent during this day?
Well, I'll be doing everything I can to support John. That might involve a little bit of a canvas. Right now what I'm doing is I'm looking in a bit more detail at the different wards and where people actually turn out to vote and what the voting patterns are. And it's about, at this stage, it's almost a marketing thing. It's about segmenting your market and looking basically at where people are likely to vote. So if you have an area where, for example, you've got a 25% turnout, and an area you've got a 70% turnout, and you only have a choice of canvassing one, then you'll clearly canvass the one with the 70% turnout.
Sounds good sense to me. Okay, Ón Ollaire, I want to thank you. It's our first chance to introduce you into the audio booth, and I hope we'll meet other members of the campaign as we go along.
Yeah, we will. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you very much. Paul O'Mahony saying cheerio to the team from here. Goodbye.